ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 22 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द ऑर्बिट्स ऑफ द प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। सिंस दिस इज प्रोज वी विल नॉट चैंट दिस इन रेस्पॉन्स। राजोवाच यदेतद् भगवत आदित्यस्य मेरुं ध्रुवं च प्रदक्षिणेना परिक्रमातो राशिनाम् अभिमुखं प्रचलितां च प्रदक्षिणं भगवतो पवर्णितं अमुष्य वयं कथं अनुमिमाहिति। ट्रांसलेशन: King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, you have already affirmed the truth that the supremely powerful sun god travels around Dhruvaloka with both Dhruvaloka and Mount Sumeru on his right. Yet at the same time, the sun god faces the signs of the zodiac and keeps Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on his left. How can we reasonably accept that the sun god proceeds with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on both his left and right simultaneously?" Since there is no purport, we will also read the following verses. Text number 2, Shri Sukadeva Goswami clearly answered, "When a potter's wheel is moving and small ants located on that big wheel are moving with it, one can see that their motion is different from that of the wheel because they appear sometimes on one part of the wheel and sometimes on another. Similarly, the signs and constellations with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on their right move with the wheel of time, and the ant-like sun and other planets move with them. The sun and planets, however, are seen in different signs and constellations at different times. This indicates that their motion is different from that of the zodiac and the wheel of time itself." Text number 3, "The original cause of the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. When great saintly persons, fully aware of the Vedic knowledge, offered prayers to the Supreme Person, he descended to this material world in the form of the sun to benefit all the planets and purify fruitive activities. He divided himself into 12 parts and created seasonal forms, beginning with spring. In this way, he created the seasonal qualities such as heat, cold, and so on." Text 4, "According to the system of 4 varnas and 4 ashramas, people generally worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, who is situated as the sun god. With great faith, they worship the Supreme Personality of the Super Soul according to ritualistic ceremonies handed down in the 3 Vedas, such as Agnihotras and similar higher and lower fruitive acts, and according to the process of mystic yoga. In this way, they very easily attain the ultimate goal of life." Text number 5. "The sun god, who is Narayan or Vishnu, the soul of all the worlds, is situated in outer space between the upper and lower portions of the universe. Passing through 12 months on the wheel of time, the sun comes in touch with 12 different signs of the zodiac and assumes 12 different names according to those signs. The aggregate of those 12 months is called a samvatsara, or an entire year. According to lunar calculations, 2 fortnights, one of the waxing moon and the other of the waning, form 1 month. That same period is 1 day and night for the planet Pitraloka. According to stellar calculations, a month equals 2 1/4 constellations. When the sun travels for 2 months, a season passes, and therefore the seasonal changes are considered parts of the body of the year." Text 6. "Thus the time the sun takes to rotate through half of outer space is called an ayana, or its period of movement, in the north or in the south." Text 7. "The sun god has 3 speeds, slow, fast, and moderate. The time he takes to travel entirely around the spheres of heaven, earth, and space at these 3 speeds is referred to by learned scholars by the 5 names: Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idavatsara, Anuvatsara, and Vatsara." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada: "According to solar astronomical calculations, Each year extends 6 days beyond the calendar year, and according to lunar calculations, each year is 6 days shorter. Therefore, because of the movements of the sun and moon, there is difference of 12 days between the solar and lunar years. As the Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idavatsara, Anuvatsara and Vatsara pass by, 2 extra months are added within each 5 years. This makes a 6th Samvatsara. But because that Samvatsara is extra, the solar system is calculated according to the above 5 names. Hare Krishna. One time there was one young man. He was walking through the forest and he saw some light. So he went nearer, and when he went very close, he saw that there is a huge palace. And he saw around, he couldn't see anyone. So he went inside the palace, and there he saw beautiful cushions and beautiful chandeliers, and there was a beautiful television set, and there are so many objects for enjoyment. And he was thinking, there is nobody around, let me start enjoying. And he sat on the sofa. Then he went to the dining room. He saw a huge feast was arranged there. And he sat, started enjoying, started eating everything. Then he came and sat on the sofa, switched on the TV. And he was having a good time. This story is incomplete, but it's instructive. We don't have to be an expert moralist to understand that this person, what he was doing was wrong. Because he was not the owner, the proprietor. And because he didn't bother to know who is the owner and proprietor, and he was simply enjoying, we all will accept that he is liable to be prosecuted by the owner. And he can be easily punished. So this is actually our condition also. In the material world, we are all trying to enjoy and exploit the resources of nature without understanding to whom this actually belongs. Who is the proprietor? We fail to understand that this is all energy of Krishna, and we have to engage it in Krishna's service. And if we simply enjoy without understanding this common sense thing, then we are also liable to be punished. And this is the essence of this entire section of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the creation is explained. The whole essence is that we have to understand everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the proprietor, and we have to engage in Krishna's service. And this theme of creation, because we have been discussing this since the second canto, in between when these questions were asked by Parikshit Maharaj, the answer is even continuing in this 5th canto. And in the 2nd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of this entire creation is explained very, very succinctly. There are 5 things explained very nicely in the 2nd canto, chapter 4, 5, 6 and 7. First is, in what mood should we understand all this creation, the creator? What should be our approach? How should we inquire about this subject matter? Secondly, this section also answers the question, who is the supreme creator after all? Who exactly is the creator? And of course, we all know the answer for this one. The third question that is asked is, that is answered in this section is, what is the process of creation? How does the creation actually take place? And then fourthly, who cannot understand this creator who is creating these wonderful things? And lastly, who can understand, or what is the qualification needed to understand this, and how we can approach Krishna, who by then we will conclude is the supreme creator. So when Parikshit Maharaj asks these questions to Sukadeva Goswami, that who is the creator and how is this creation taking place, Sukadeva Goswami says, the same questions were asked by Narad Muni to his father and guru, Brahmaji. And I will tell you that conversation, which is very instructive for all of us. And Narad Muni begins by revealing to us the answer to this first question, how to inquire about creation. Narad Muni approaches Brahmaji and with folded palms, falling at his feet, he says, please accept my humble obeisances. Please instruct me. And in utter humility, he presents himself. So Prabhupada explains two points are to be very considered here. One is humility, which reveals that this is the way we should inquire about subject, spiritual subject matters. And secondly, he is also asking the right person. He is not asking any Tom, Dick and Harry. His approach is proper. And this approach of inquiry is more effective than simple mental speculation. And Indians especially are very expert in this speculative tendencies. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples. One Indian man came. And he started arguing with Prabhupada. Swamiji, what is this? Your disciples are publishing Back to Godhead in English and these books. You should publish in Marathi, Gujarati, Hindi. He started saying many things. He started advising Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, just to smash him and just to make him shut up, Prabhupada said, no, we will not publish. We will do it only in English. Just to irritate him. And this man again continued, no, Swamiji, I advise that you should make temples like this. You should do like this. Prabhupada said, no, we will not do like that. Finally, this man was trying his best to convince and Prabhupada said, you shut up. What will you do? Will you do any service? If we ask you to do something, you will simply say, no, Swamiji, I have to arrange for my daughter's wedding. I'm very busy. I cannot do any service. So don't simply talk. So we see that there are many people who simply like to be commentators. They will not actually understand the science. They will not actually try to approach a bona fide spiritual master. So Narad Muni is instructing us through his approach of Brahmaji that we should want to know the spiritual subject matter, but we should approach in a humble way. And he tells Brahmaji that, my dear father, please tell me the facts and the symptoms of this world, how it is created, what is the background of this world, how it is conserved, how it is controlled. Don't tell me any theories. Tat tatvam vada tatvata. This is very important. Even Srila Prabhupada explains in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers book, that what is science? Science means to know things as they are, not simply speculate some theory. So Narad Muni is also revealing this by saying, don't give me different theories, tell me for fact. And we all can see that three things we can all experience. We can experience the material world. We can also experience that we are a living entity. And we also see that this living entity is controlled always. So with little intelligence, we can see these three things happening in the world. And then, with this little intelligence, if we also add a genuine inquiry, then we can actually know the absolute truth. So therefore, this approach is very important. And then Narad Muni says, my dear father, my understanding is that you are the supreme creator because you are so expert. Sarvam etad bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu karamalaka vad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava. Bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu. Oh, my dear Prabhu, you know everything that has been created in the past. You know everything that is being created now. And you know everything that will be created in future. The whole universe is in your grip like a amalaka fruit. Karamalaka vad vishvam. Just like a walnut is in the control of a person and he can completely know that walnut within his control. Similarly, you know the whole universe. Vijnana vachitantava. Srila Prabhupada compares Brahmaji to a factory manufacturing manager. How in a factory, the manufacturing manager knows four things. Prabhupada says he knows how he has learned the art of manufacturing. This person also knows where he got the ingredients for this manufacturing. Thirdly, he also knows how the plant has been... He also knows how the plant has been set up. And finally, such a manager also knows how the products are being turned out. Similarly, Brahmaji is like that manager. He knows where the ingredients are coming from to create this whole universe, how it is created, and how he has learned the art of creation, and how the living entities are actually coming out. So Brahmaji knows all this. And then Narad Muni says, my dear father, are you like a spider? Because a spider is independent. Spider can make its own cobweb. So you are also, I see that you create everything. But I also feel that there should be some source of your creation also. Because I see that you are very, always in a meditative mood. And you are also praying constantly. You are doing tapasya. So is there somebody greater than you? Can you please tell me? So Narad Muni could understand by these observations that there is someone very superior. There is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada says, scientists might be very proud, but they should know that even Brahmaji has a creator. Narad Muni is understanding this. Sometimes we are proud of creating some things. But Prabhupada says, you might create something, but the brain which you have used to create that thing, that has not been created by you. That has been awarded to you. So who is awarding that brain? How we are able to create all these things? Narad Muni is teaching us that we should not blindly accept anyone as God, but we should inquire from a bona fide spiritual master. And then Brahmaji begins his answer, which constitutes the second part of our discussion, that is, who is the creator? Brahmaji says, Samyakarunikasyedam vatsate vichikitsitam yadaham chodita saumya bhagavat virya darshana. Oh my dear son, thank you for asking these questions, Brahmaji says. And he says, you are asking these questions not because you want to know. You already know everything. You are asking because Karunikasyedam, you are very, very merciful to me. You want me to advance. You want me to get purified by glorifying Krishna. That is why you are asking me. And because you have asked me, let me tell you. Yadaham chojita somya bhagavad virya darshana. I am very excited now to glorify Krishna. So two qualities Brahmaji is revealing. His humility and also his enthusiasm to speak about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes here that pure devotees, they are not simply interested only in knowing Krishna. And they are not satisfied by that. They also want to broadcast the glories of Krishna everywhere. They are enthusiastic to speak about Krishna. This quality of Brahmaji was also seen in Srila Prabhupada. One time we were hearing one conversation of Srila Prabhupada with some Catholic priests in Geneva. So they are talking about Krishna, Christ, many things. And after a long time, these priests are saying, "So, okay, Your Highness, we should now leave. Thank you for your wonderful time." Very courteous they were, and they were leaving. And Prabhupada is telling them, "No, no, don't go. Where are you? Why are you going? No problem. I can speak the whole day about Krishna. I am very happy to speak. You are not disturbing me. Don't worry. Sit, sit." So Prabhupada is excited. Prabhupada is enthusiastic to speak about Krishna. This is the Brahmaji's quality. And he now says that, "My dear Narad Muni, what you are telling about me, that I am great, I am controlling everything like a walnut, actually, it is true. What you are speaking about me is not false. Because I have been empowered by Krishna. Actually, Krishna is the original creator." And then he says, "Enasva rochisha vishvam rochitam rochaya maham etarkognir yata somo etaksha grihataraka." He says, first is Krishna. Enasva rochisha vishvam. He creates everything. And then, rochitam rochaya maham. Then I manifest different things. But just like yatar kognir yata somo, the sun is the original source of light and illumination. And then the moon, the firmament, the stars, the planets, all of them, they reflect the light. But the origin is sun. Similarly, origin is Krishna. He is the actual creator. We should understand that. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives two very nice examples to understand this. He says, first he says that we have different courts in India, lower court, high court. But we know that the division of the Supreme Court is final. Similarly, different people might say different things, but Brahmaji is like the Supreme Court. Brahma's verdict is perfect. And he is saying Krishna is the Supreme Creator, we should accept. And Prabhupada then quotes, "Esya prava prabhavato jagadanda koti," Brahma Samhita verses. And also in the Gita, we see Krishna saying, "Brahmano hi pratishta aham," that Brahman is coming from me. I am the Supreme Creator. Of course, we should understand that Lord is not like a blacksmith who creates. Blacksmith is tapping and then creating something. No, but Krishna is simply willing. Parasa shakti vividaya shruyate svabhavaki jnana bala kriyacha. By his desire, everything happens. And the second example that Prabhupada gives is of a gardener. The owner of the house might give some seeds of a banyan tree to the gardener, and the gardener then takes care. Similarly, Prabhupada says Krishna is the giver of the seeds of this banyan tree of material existence. And also, one very important thing we should notice here is that Brahmaji is a very responsible person. He could have easily accepted, yes, says, I am great, you are glorifying me, I am supreme. But he immediately clarifies, no, I am not the supreme. Krishna is the supreme creator. And then he says, I am offering obeisances and meditating on Krishna. This Krishna, by whose Maya Shakti, foolish people worship others as God, and they sometimes worship me also as God. Actually, it is only because of Krishna's Maya Shakti. Yan Maya Durjayaya Mam Vadanti Jagat Gurum. They worship me as supreme because they are in Maya. I am not supreme. Actually, he says, Maya Devi, she cannot control anyone because she is ashamed of her position. But when a person is puffed up and thinks, I am the doer, I am great, Maya takes complete charge of that person. Actually, whatever I create is created by Krishna. Forget what I am creating. Even I am myself created by Krishna. So, Krishna is the supreme creator. And if Krishna is the supreme creator, then what is our position? What should we do? Then Brahmaji says in the next few verses that our goal is simply satisfy Krishna, offer everything to Krishna. Narayana para veda, deva narayana angaja, narayana para loka, narayana para makhei, narayana paro yogo, narayana param tapa, narayanam param jnana, narayana para tapa, para gati. So Krishna is the goal of all sacrifice, all yajna, and ultimately is the supreme destination. So therefore, we have to surrender to Krishna and act as his instrument. Nimitta matra bhavasavya sachi. Krishna tells Arjuna that we have to act as an instrument. Because Krishna's one name is Urukrama. He can do most wonderful and magnificent things. And because he can do so many magnificent things, he also empowers his instrument to do magnificent things. And we see, Hanumanji, he jumped over the ocean and went to Lanka. But Lord Ram himself, he walked through the whole thing. So the Lord empowers his servants more. One time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in every town and village, holy name will spread. Why he didn't do it himself? Prabhupada said, because he wanted me to get the credit. So therefore, the Lord empowers his devotees and makes them, because they are acting as instruments, he makes them do wonderful things. And that's how Brahmaji, because he is a humble instrument, he is creating this wonderful creation. And if we refuse to act as an instrument, then yantra rudani mayaya, then we are controlled by the maya energy of Krishna. And then Brahmaji explains the third point, that is, how the creation takes place. So this is a very detailed explanation. And in essence, what he says is that there is Karanadaksha Vishnu, from whom the Mahatattva takes place. The principles of material creation are created. And from that time, and the three modes come, and they are all transformed into different activities. Basically, he says that Mahatattva is agitated. And then the three modes come, then false ego comes, and then from false ego, these five elements come. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. First the sky comes, the ether. Along with its subtle form of sound. And from sky, then air is created. Along with the quality of touch. From air comes fire and form. From fire comes water and taste. And from water comes earth and fragrance. So like this, that is systematically explained by Brahmaji in the second canto. And he also says that from the mode of goodness, mind is developed. Then the controlling deities of different demigods, they are created. The Adityas, the Ashwini Kumaras, the sun god. And then he also gives detailed explanation about how the Lord enters into each universe and manifests and assumes the Virata Rupa with thousands of legs and hands. And after giving this whole explanation, Brahmaji concludes by saying, Padastrayo Bahishashma Aprajanamya Ashrama. My dear son Narad Muni, please understand that what I am explaining to you is only 1/4 of the total creation. Padastrayo Bahishashma. 3/4 is completely spiritual world. That is completely beyond my scope of understanding. So this is how great Krishna is. Goloka eva nivasat akhilatma bhuto. Krishna is in Goloka and he is the supreme lord, the supreme enjoyer, and this spiritual world is beyond my jurisdiction. And then Brahmaji answers the fourth question, which is the fourth and fifth, which is the most important, that how to understand Krishna. Rather, he explains, who cannot understand Krishna and who can understand Krishna. So first he explains, because we all have understood so far by this explanation that Krishna is the supreme creator. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. If we know Krishna, then everything is known. So now, it is also important to know how we cannot understand Krishna. What is the disqualification? So Brahmaji says, Soham samam nayamayastapo maya prajapati nama bivandita pati asthaya yogam nipunam samahitas tam nadyagacham yata atma sambhava. My dear Narada, I am in disciplic succession. Soham samam nayamayastapo maya. I am doing a lot of tapasya. I am prajapati. I am the progenitor of all living entities. Abhivandita. Everybody worships me. I am Pati, I am the supreme master. Asthaya yogam, I have done successful practices of yoga. Nipunam, I am very expert. Samahitas, I am self-realized. I am Atma Sambhava, I am also self-born. But, tam nadya gacham, but still I cannot understand Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada writes, what does all this mean? This simply proves that with all these qualifications, we cannot understand Krishna. If someone claims that I am self-realized, I am very strong, this, and Brahmaji is saying, I am also like that. But I cannot understand Krishna. So that means if Brahmaji, who is a perfect knower of Vedas, he cannot know Krishna, how can an ordinary Vedantist claim to know the Supreme Lord? That's why one time one disciple told Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, if you say Krishna cannot be understood, why have you written so many books? Prabhupada said, I have written so many books so that you can understand that Krishna cannot be understood. So to realize Krishna's greatness calls for a lot of humility, and to accept that we cannot know him simply by our material qualifications. I had once gone to this Mahalakshmi bookstore here with one devotee, and there I saw a big book, and it was titled Krishna, and a beautiful painting of Krishna. So I was attracted, I picked it up. And the title was very big, Krishna, but next to it in small letters was written, Krishna the man and his philosophy. It was by a very famous bogus god who is based in Pune, he is no more now. And that entire book, in the first page he writes, this book is dedicated to every human being who is God but was forgotten that he is God. And it must be at least 3000 pages, thick book and full of crap, all nonsense. Such a person is encouraging so many people to read these books. So how can anybody know Krishna? Even the great Brahmaji is claiming, I cannot know Krishna. But somebody might say, no, we have faith in scientists. Scientists are telling us so many things. And Brahmaji gives a very interesting example to say how scientists are fools. Even they cannot understand Krishna. He says, Vishnornu virya gananan katamo ratiha yah parthivan api kaviri mame rajamsi chashkam vayasvarah saskalata tripristham yasmatri samya sadana durukam payanam. He says, how can you gananam? How can you estimate Krishna? Because kavi, Prabhupada translates the word kavi here as scientist. Because Brahmaji is saying, yah parthivan api kavir, a scientist might count all the atoms of the universe, but he cannot even reach the lotus toe of Krishna. Because when Krishna came as Vamandev, chashkamba yasvarahsas kalatatri prishtam, he lifted his toe and he covered the whole planetary systems, all the three layers. And he also penetrated the covering of the material universe. And he created a hole there, and the water from the causal ocean filtered into the material sky and became the water Ganges. So this is the power of Vamandev, Krishna. With his lotus toe, he could do so much. So scientists, they might count all the atoms, but they cannot even near Krishna's toe. And Prabhupada also gives a nice imaginary example, like Brahmaji is giving the example of counting atoms. Prabhupada says, somebody might roll up the sky like a carpet or a bedding. He might successfully roll up the whole sky, but still he cannot even reach Krishna's lotus feet. This is the power of Krishna. And then he says, well, it's not just simply me or scientists who cannot understand Krishna. Even a very special person, even he cannot understand Krishna. Who is that? Nantam vidamahamami munayo grajaste maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye gayan gunan dashashata nanadi deva shesho dunapi samavas yatinasya param. My dear Narad Muni, I cannot understand. You cannot understand. All those people born before you cannot understand Krishna. So how can those who are born after us, how can they understand him completely? And then he says, one person has been singing Krishna's glory since time immemorial with Dashashatanana Adideva. Adidev, Anantashesh with his thousand heads has been glorifying Krishna since time immemorial. Some of us, Yatinasya Param, and he's been unable to completely estimate Krishna's glories. For what to speak of you and me? And then he says, the most amazing thing. Brahmaji says, Natosmahamta charanam samiyusham bhavachidam swast ayanam sumangalam yatma maya vibhavam smaparyagad yata nabasvantamata parekuta. My dear Narad Muni, the conclusion is simply grab Krishna's lotus feet and surrender. Because when we surrender to Krishna's lotus feet, three things will happen. Bhavachidam, we will become free from the repetition of birth and death. Swast ayanam, we will experience real happiness springing from the realm of the soul. And sumangalam, there will be complete auspiciousness in our lives. Because if you try to understand, it is foolish. Because your atma maya vibhavam sma paryagad, even Krishna himself cannot fully understand his own greatness. Yata nabha swanta mata pare kuta. My dear Narad Muni, if the sky wants to understand its own glories, and if the sky wants to know its own limit, how much can the sky know? Just like the sky cannot estimate its own limit, Krishna also cannot estimate the ecstasies that a devotee experiences in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada answers a doubt that might come in our mind, that if Krishna himself cannot estimate, does that mean he is imperfect? No. Prabhupada uses two very nice terms here. He says measurement, there is measurement of ecstasies in Krishna consciousness, and there is also another word, increment. So there is measurement. Krishna does measure, but as soon as the measurement is done, there is increment. And then again there is measurement, but again there is increment of ecstasies. So like this, Prabhupada says, there is a transcendental eternal competition between increment and measurement of ecstasies and Krishna's limits and expansion. And this goes on ad infinitum, Prabhupada says. And therefore, we cannot know Krishna by any of these material qualifications. So now comes the final point, which is the most important. How we can actually understand Krishna, or we can approach Krishna. Brahmaji says, Yanme ridat kanta yata drato hari. I have simply grabbed Krishna's lotus feet. And now he reveals the few qualifications we need to understand Krishna. He says, Esham sa esha bhagavan dayaye dananta sarvatmana shritapado yadi nirvelikam te dustaramati taranti chadeva mayam naisham mamaham iti di swashugala bhakshe. He says, first is dayaye dananta. Krishna has to bestow his causeless mercy upon us. Only then we can understand Krishna. Second, Krishna will do that out of his own sweet free will. But what should we do? Sarvat manashrita. Completely surrender to Krishna. But that surrender is not external. For that, the third qualification, which is the most important, he says, nirvelikam, means with simplicity and without duplicity, without pretension. Nirvelikam means without pretension. So one has to be humble and simple. And then Brahmaji says, when should do these three, te dustara matitaranti cha deva mayam, this insurmountable ocean can be easily crossed. And then he says, also, one more important thing, We should not be in the bodily consciousness of life. Nesha mamaham. We are always thinking of I, me and mine. This is Shur Shrigala Bhakshya. This is the consciousness of a dog and a jackal. So if you give up this and practice these four, that is surrender to Krishna, develop simplicity without duplicity, and third, get out of the bodily conception of life, and finally, Krishna's own sweet free will is bestowing of causeless mercy. Only this can help us. So here Prabhupada elaborates on this importance of simplicity. We hear Jesus Christ's famous prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for keeping this knowledge a secret from the wise and intelligent and revealing it to those who are simple and innocent. So Krishna reveals himself to those who are simple-hearted. In the year 1868, in one village in Karoli, where we have Sanatan Goswami's beautiful deity, Radha Madan Mohan. In Karoli, in this particular year, there was one lady from the Gujjar community, a simple lady whose only service was to get milk every day for the deities. She would make garlands for the deities. She was not a great scholar nor a speculator. But Madan Mohan was captivated by her simplicity and by her devotional service. That one night, as she was taking rest at home in her small cottage, in her small hut, she was a very poor lady. And she saw in front of her Madan Mohanji was standing. He had come down from the hill. Those who have gone to Madan Mohan temple, we know that it is on a hill. And the village is far away from that temple. So Madan Mohan actually walked down the hill in the night and came to spend time with this devotee. For this lady was completely overwhelmed. And she immediately offered her cot for Madan Mohan to sit. And Madan Mohan sat and said, I'm very tired. So she started massaging his feet and he lay down on the cot. And as he was lying there, he removed his yellow shawl and kept it on the side. And he was lying there and this lady was massaging. She was singing Madan Mohan's glories. And after some time, because of so much service, she was also tired and she slept next to Madan Mohan, holding him very tightly. And she spent the whole night like that. And then at around 4 o'clock, Madan Mohanji woke up and he said, it's time for Mangalarti. The pujari will be very upset that I am here. So immediately ran back to the temple so that the pujari doesn't get panicky. But as he was running, Madan Mohan picked up what he thought was his yellow shawl. But instead he picked up that lady's brown, dirty chadar. And he ran. And when the pujari opened, the aarti started. Meanwhile, this lady got up. She thought it was time for Mangalarti. Every day she would come for Mangalarti. And she saw Madan Mohan is not there. She realized Madan Mohan has already gone. So she ran for Mangalarti. And she picked up Krishna's yellow shawl and she ran up. The Mangalarti started and the pujari was offering lamp. And he saw, everybody saw that, what is this dirty shawl doing on Madan Mohan? And then he turned back. And then everybody saw that this lady is wearing this beautiful yellow shawl. She didn't realize. And everybody asked her, how did you get this? How did you steal it? Why did you steal this? And then immediately everybody realized, no, she's not a thief. She's a pure devotee, because they all knew her. Her devotional service was well known to everyone. So immediately she explained the whole story. So this particular event happened on Amavasya night. So therefore, since that day, every Amavasya in Madan Mohan temple, they dress Madan Mohanji with this black cloth. They put it on Madan Mohanji in glorification, in honor of this simple lady's devotional service. Now, people don't even remember her name. But in the sense, we can see how Krishna knew her and she knew Krishna. So it was a simple faith and simple devotional service that attracted Krishna. And then Brahmaji, after explaining all this, he gives list of so many devotees who actually understood Krishna because of these qualifications of simplicity, of surrendering everything. He again clarifies, Krishna is unknowable, he is immeasurable, but the following devotees know him. So he says, Lord Shiva, Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Priyavrat, Dhruva Maharaj, Hanumanji, Sukhdev Goswami, Arjuna, Bali Maharaj, Bhishma, Rantidev, Vibhishan, Vidura. Like that he gives list of 50 names. And there Prabhupada says, all these devotees know Krishna not because of mental speculation, but because of simplicity. Because by mental speculation, forget Krishna, you cannot even know Krishna's material potencies. So how can we claim to know Krishna? And then once we understand Krishna through this approach, then everything becomes blissful. One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Paris with Hari Vilas Prabhu. And Hari Vilas Prabhu was thinking, what is this city, hellish city, and the morning traffic was going, office goers were going. And he was thinking it's a city of sense gratification. And Prabhupada was walking with his bead bag of chanting, and suddenly Prabhupada stopped walking, closed his eyes and kept shaking his head. And for what appeared to be a long time, Prabhupada simply just shaking his head, he was closed, absorbed. And after almost a minute, Prabhupada came back to external consciousness and said, this is Vrindavan. And Prabhupada continued walking. So Hari Vilas Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada could perceive Vrindavan even in a hellish city like Paris. So he had complete faith in Krishna. He was completely Krishna conscious. Now, many of us might have this doubt that, okay, Brahmaji is emphasizing on simplicity, but I don't have that simplicity. How can I develop that simplicity? So in the next verse, Brahmaji gives the way we can develop this quality, which is very dear to Krishna. And this is of utmost importance. He says, Tevai vidantati taranti cha deva mayam stri shudra huna shabara pipapa jiva yadadbhuta krama parayana shila shikshas tiryak jana apikimu shruta dharanaye. He says, not simply human beings can understand, civilized human beings who have simplicity, they can understand Krishna. Even stri shudra huna shabara api papa jiva, even papa jivas, sinful people, shabara caste, huna caste, shudras, even they can understand Krishna. And what to speak of them, tiryak jana, even animals can get Krishna's mercy and they can approach Krishna. If this most important qualification is there, and that is yadadbhuta krama parayana shila shiksha, if we take shelter of those who are absorbed in Krishna, then we can also understand Krishna. And then he says tiryak jana api kimu shrutadharanaye, if animals and low class people can understand Krishna because of this qualification, then what to speak of you and me. Talking about animals, when Radhanath Maharaj was giving the example of puppy the other day, I was remembering Isolinath Jayapataka Swami Maharaj saying that when he was a brahmachari in Mayapur, he had heard about some dog coming occasionally to Mayapur temple and taking darshan of Prabhupada. He had heard some rumors, so he thought, let me go and check. So one day in the afternoon, he went when nobody was around, and he saw that there was one particular dog which is so intelligent, he would come when nobody was around, and he would come inside the temple hall, he would come near Prabhupada's Vyasasan, and he would circumambulate Prabhupada. Standing in front, he would just move there. And then he would pay full dandavas to Prabhupada, and he would be gone. So Maharaj was saying that even animals are attracted to a pure devotee. So we might find many animals grabbing the mercy of pure devotee. And here we, because we have not taken shelter of a pure devotee, we have taken shelter of our intelligence, we might still remain here wondering what's happened to me, you know, why I'm suffering here. So it's a very simple process actually. Why surrender to devotees is emphasized? Because a devotee can give Krishna. Krishna se tumar Krishna dite paro, tumara shakti aachi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, oh Vaishnava, you can give Krishna. So therefore, basically a Vaishnava is impoverished person. He doesn't have anything. His only possession is Krishna. And he is very eager to give Krishna. So when we approach a Vaishnava, he will but give us Krishna. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastra that one should approach pure devotees, because in material world, our material qualifications help us. And without those qualifications, we are unfit to be in this world. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, it is simply surrender and shelter of devotees. That is the most important qualification. That is why we see that when the new Vrindavan palace of gold was built, it is amazing. None of the devotees were architects. They simply made it on their own because of their love for Prabhupada. And then, once it was opened, students from the best architecture schools in America would come to take darshan of that, to understand and to study that. And when this palace of gold was opened, the New York Times had a headlines. Taj Mahal of the West, they had given it the headline. What a creation by devotees who had no material qualification, but they had love for Prabhupada, for a pure devotee. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, sinful people cannot approach the Lord directly, but because the Lord's pure devotee is very merciful, when you approach Lord's pure devotee, he easily helps us understand Krishna. That is why Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was telling us one time that when they were new devotees, they didn't understand Jagannath. How could Jagannath be Krishna? It was inconceivable, but they would sincerely worship. And one day he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we are worshipping Lord Jagannath. We are doing as you are telling us that he is the Lord of the universe, etc. But can you please tell us how he is the Lord of the universe? Because he says, we were attached to Prabhupada. And because Jagannath happened to be the worshipable Lord of Prabhupada, so we also started worshipping Jagannath. And that's how these devotees developed attraction for Krishna, because they were attached to Lord's pure devotee. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes one very nice statement. Realization of Krishna and relief from suffering. Because we want both. We want relief from our suffering and we want realization of Krishna. Prabhupada says, both these things is very easy for a devotee who surrenders to Adbhuta Krama Parayana, to other devotees, Vaishnavas. But it is very difficult for profitless speculators. So therefore, simply rendering devotional service guarantees us realization of this Krishna consciousness. And then Brahmaji also says another important point. He says, we cannot understand Krishna. Nayam vidanti tatvena. So what should we do? Gayanti hi asmad adaya. Let us simply hear and chant Krishna's glories, because we cannot actually completely glorify him. Simply hearing and chanting is recommending. And then therefore we see in the second canto, the entire seventh chapter is Brahmaji glorifying Krishna's various activities as Parashuram, Ram, Krishna, all his incarnations he glorifies. And in the conclusion, Brahmaji tells Narad Muni that, my dear Narada, now I have told you everything very briefly. Now you please expand this science in such a way and describe the whole science in such a way, not to smash the scientists and atheists, but to make them devotees. Yata haro bhagavati ninam bhaktir bhavashyati iti sankalpya varnaya. With determination, preach this message so that everybody becomes devotee of Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. He is also the source of happiness. So therefore, Narad Muni is being advised by Brahmaji to develop missionary spirit. So therefore, we see that Brahmaji is giving us this formula of how we can also realize Krishna. So to briefly conclude what we've discussed today, we first discussed the first topic, in what mood we should approach this science of creation, how should we understand it. And the answer was in humility and asking the right person and a desire to know the facts, not simply theory. Second, who is the supreme creator? It is undoubtedly Krishna, and Brahmaji is simply the secondary creator. And thirdly, the question that was asked, that was answered, was that how the process of creation takes place, and that also Brahmaji explains in detail. And then fourth, who cannot understand Krishna and who can understand Krishna? Brahmaji says, by our material qualifications we cannot understand Krishna. Only through surrendering everything to Krishna, when we are free from duplicity, that is when we have simplicity, when we are free from bodily consciousness of life, when Krishna bestows his causeless mercy, and when we take shelter of devotees, and then when we hear and chant Krishna's glories, and we also preach. So he gives the seven solutions. So basically covers these three very important points: hearing and chanting, service to Vaishnavas, and preaching. This is also the formula given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu: Vaishnav Seva, Nam Ruchi, and Jivdaya. So when we render devotional service in this way, then Krishna consciousness becomes all blissful and all auspicious. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.